Welcome back to another episode of the Parenting Pathway Podcast. This is Pastor Dave Carl, and my guests today for the second day are Jerry Marshall.
Hello. Nice
and
to be here.
So glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Who is a licensed professional counselor with the Watershed Initiative Group with locations in Frisco. I say Frisco first because
that's where you are.
That's kind of the center of the universe here.
Yes, so. Absolutely.
And then there's Richardson and Plano. I'm sure there are people that live out there, but certainly in Frisco. And then joining us is Aaron Johnson, also an LPC intern.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Both mothers.
Yes.
Expert, perfect moms.
Right.
That's our in our fantasy world.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah,
it's the delusion we live in.
I actually had people lined up who said they were perfect parents, and I didn't want to talk to them.
Yes.
So, I wouldn't either.
You know, don't let them in the building. So we are, this is our part two. The first episode on this teen anxiety topic was really framing the problem, how to recognize that something is amiss in our teens or kids, that not necessarily teens.
Right.
And it seems to be getting younger and younger, the kids experiencing this. So as a parent, I have seen personality changes. I've seen behavioral changes. I'm alarmed. My kid can't really give me much more than that, but they seem desperate. So I have decided as a parent, we got to do something. What do I do first? I'm a little afraid, you know, of psychiatry and drugs and going to a scary place and the neighbors finding out. And I mean, I've got a whole world of anxiety myself as a parent, perhaps, about getting help for my kid. So like, what's perhaps level one?
Sure. I like what you said at the end of the last installment where you said, don't do parenting alone. That's the thing that sticks with me is when you are at that place, I know we need help. I don't know where to go. Reach out to your friends, your community. If it's a church life group, if it's just a community of women, whoever that is your close confidants that you can talk to, that's your first, I think, step as a parent to go there. Because you probably will realize once you do that, and in a little bit of vulnerability, because it's hard to do, but that it's so important to connect in that way, that you'll find there's other women and other parents that are dealing with the same thing. And they may have resources that you don't know about. So that would be my first level. Let's do this. Let's connect with someone that we love and trust and that care for us and we know have us in the palm of their hand. They're there for us. Open up. I know it's not easy as a parent. Sometimes it's really hard to realize this is
I'm
a vulnerability.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm not perfect. Like, what? My kid has it? What? But it's okay because everyone, the minute you start connecting, you will notice that there are people that are experiencing the same thing that you are, very similar things, and they have resources that can help you.
I'm not sure we said this while we were recording, but the kid who's experiencing these uncontrollable levels of anxiety, they think they're the only one.
Exactly.
And they're not asking for help because it's just me and nobody else is struggling with any of this.
And I don't even know what to ask for.
Yes. I can't describe.
Yeah, there's actually a neuroscience kind of reasoning behind that of kids not being fully developed in their brains.
Right.
So it's a lot harder for them to, they feel it. It's a, well, I can describe it to you if you want me to, but it's this amygdala that we have in our brain. That's like the primitive part of our brain. That's where anxiety, fear, all that is. And when that's fired up, our brain that has all that problem solving, the prefrontal cortex, it shuts down. And they cannot access a lot, or it's really hard to access that part of the brain when they're so in charged with that anxiety. So for kids, like Aaron said, they don't even know what to do or what to say, or they don't even know what's wrong. So it's really hard for them to even.
Is that the fight or flight mode?
Yes, exactly. Yes. You're gonna run? Are you gonna
I'm not
stay
doing
and
math.
Fight? Or are you gonna
I'm not navigating my social situation any longer.
Or freeze.
Yeah,
fight or freeze.
Fight or freeze.
Yeah, and so.
Sure, I like that too.
Yeah, so there is also a scientific, if, some parents like to know, science, like, yeah, there's actually things in their brain that's having them having a difficult time. It's not them saying, I'm just not going to deal with it because I'm just being defiant. No, it's actually a scientific fact that that happens. So just as an insight into kids not able to articulate what's even going on. So,
so as you have kids who, yeah, if they were to make a move toward help, mm-hmm, one of the first things, and I've seen this in addiction circles, every alcoholic or porn addicted guy,
yeah,
is convinced he's the only one.
Right.
And the first step in recovery is you go into a group of strangers and you do the famous,
yeah, you name it.
You know, I'm an alcoholic, yeah, and everybody says, you know, and then they,
right,
so you're now in a room of 12, 30 people who are at various stages of your,
yeah,
thing. The first level of healing is I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that in and of itself is healing.
Yeah.
So for the child to reach out and get, find out they're not alone,
mm-hmm,
and then for the parent to step out into their community,
yeah,
they get some, you know, one out of five, you know, in a group of five people,
right,
two or three are going to say,
oh, yes,
either I went through that as a kid or my kid's going through that now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a guy.
Yeah.
We've got a phone number for you.
Yes.
Or,
I tell you, we did an anxiety workshop not too long ago for teen girls. And when I posted that just on my own Facebook feed,
mm-hmm,
the response I got from people I knew well and had no idea were struggling, were coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
When is this? Do you have another one? We can't make that. This is such a struggle in our home. Or parents dropped off the girls, and it was like, when are you having one for moms?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they didn't mean for their kids.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in many ways, it is starting to be talked about more. I've seen several clients that literally requested to see a counselor, mm-hmm, themselves, which still surprises me, yeah, when it walks through the door. And I'm very impressive.
Yeah.
That they know, I need a space,
mm-hmm,
that's safe and that can help me and guide me because I don't have it.
And most of those girls, like you were talking about, it's because they had a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot like, well, my friend talked about seeing her counselor.
Or my friend sees you.
Yeah, or my friend sees, yes, you. Yeah, I've gotten, yes, that too. And it's a lot of word of mouth,
mm-hmm,
that,
mm-hmm,
I get people coming in. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
but, yeah, that
resonates.
Well, and you
resonate.
Don't like, want to start fingering through the yellow pages.
It's hard.
For somebody,
it's very,
to spread your soul to.
Special, like, yeah.
It's intimidating. It's intimidating, vulnerable, to bring your child in, and,
yeah,
and you want them, of course, to feel safe, and it's great to have a recommendation. We don't all have that. So, again, it's, there's a lot of places you can go. You can go to your church.
Mm-hmm.
They have references. You can go to your general physician, your kid's doctor.
Yeah.
They hear this all the time. You are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
They hear it all the time, every day, and there's references for you if that makes you comfortable. Or you can look it up through your insurance if that makes you comfortable,
yeah,
and try out. But I know that's a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we as a church, we have and we spend time annually going and meeting with counseling groups,
uh-huh, right,
to confirm and even reconfirm that,
yeah,
they're still in the orbit,
right,
of our faith statement.
Sure.
That when we recommend, and we have for a whole array.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I like your level one is talk to a people that you,
yes,
really know,
yeah,
really trust, and perhaps level two would be go to your church because,
yeah,
they this is part of the whoop and wharf,
yes,
right,
of their life, and,
right,
we do know people. We recommend people,
right,
so it's not, and I said yellow pages, and there's probably everybody 30 and under going, what?
Yes,
what
I was just thinking
that
too. I know
I didn't
what that
even
is,
think
but
twice about it.
I didn't
so
either because I know exactly what you're
it's
talking
like
about.
The paper internet.
We're, on,
or
we're
something.
With you on that. Yeah.
But you know, I like that you said, because I don't think we added that, people you trust, because,
yes,
also you have to keep in mind your kid finally came to you.
Yeah, be
or you confident. Finally approached your kid. And if you run to your BFFs that happen to be BFFs with their,
sure,
your kids, and you're telling all their private information and they're already insecure about it, then we've got a problem.
Yeah.
But so obviously with wisdom and,
yes, it's, mm-hmm, it's good to take the risk with,
you need support,
a safe person.
Yeah.
You don't want to take,
yes,
the risk right. with the wrong person.
Right.
Because that could be disastrous.
Yeah.
So, yes,
and
you want to.
The main thing is, even if, because I know some people that don't even want to go with to their best friends mm-hmm. because of that issue what you said, Erin. Mm-hmm. So it's really just about just go out there. Even if you're more comfortable with someone that you kind of know, not to tell all this stuff, but to get a resource. Mm-hmm. Like if your level two is actually your level one, I'll go to my church first or my pastor because I know them that they're going to keep that confidential. Then go. Just whoever you need to go to, just go to that person because they have resources for
I don't
you.
Know how every church operates, but the ones that I do know, they're actually ready for this.
They are.
They're expecting people to come and hopefully, you know, and it's a little more difficult in a large church to have a relationship with a staff member or a pastor. But if you do, that's a great direction to step into. And not that they're going to meet with you for however long. They're going to have like smart people who do this for a living within reach and refer you to that.
Right.
So as a parent, I've been alarmed at my kid's condition. I want to help, and I'm able to set away my personal fears, and I want to assure them that this will be my child, that this is going to be confidential. So I found a group, I found a person, and we go there.
Okay.
And we are, myself and my teen, we are both full of anxiety.
What are we walking into?
So.
As a parent, I want to know, not, you know, to be a jerk, but I'm not chiefly concerned about money, but that's, you'd be crazy if you were not.
And how often and how
much.
Yes.
And I would say, and again, from my perspective, I have seen people who are on fire.
Yeah.
From any number of situations, and they need, their whole family system is a mess.
Sure.
And we make the suggestion that counseling is really a survival tactic at this point. And they're like, well, it's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And my response is, what would you rather spend money on?
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to speak in hyperbole, but if you have to use your credit card for this, my goodness, what is more important than your family functioning healthy, not being self-destructive, and not being destructive to each other?
Right.
Whatever you need to do, this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just
it's like an investment, right? You think of it like you go to college, and you pay all this money to get in a good college so that you will have a job. That's an investment, and you'll pay that. So I think of it like that. It's an investment that you're putting into your family that you're going to have stronger relationships. They're going to be healthier. Their kids, it's generational,
Next generation.
The next generation's. So you're planting that seed and building that investment. And that's kind of how I talk about it with some parents who are, that is something that, and I understand that financially, you do think about those and you have to think about those things. So I love it because I have Erin that I can refer to. She's awesome. So if someone came to me and asked me like how much, and I give them how much I would charge, and it's too much, like they just can't do it, I understand. And that's why I have an intern who has a sliding scale, who can see someone at a very discounted rate so that it is doable for them and they feel like they can do it. So, and I would definitely recommend Erin. I'm plugging her. So,
we'll give you her home number later.
I'm going to give you her cell. You can text her anytime. But that's what I love about where I'm at is I have these people that I surround myself with that I think are amazing, and I give that option to people, and I love that. I love that I can do that because I don't take insurance. I don't want to do that anymore. I used to. But I do this. I have people that I really trust and are wise that I can say, I give these people to, these people are wonderful. And they can do it for you at a discounted rate that you can afford.
And is that a typical structure
yeah.
in counseling groups?
Not in every group. There's some that do take insurance. Mm-hmm. And then if they definitely need to use it, I know people that I refer to mm-hmm. that I trust and know. I'm really, I have a very small group because I make sure that I, when I send someone somewhere, that I know how they're going to be treated.
Right.
And so I do have people that I know take insurance that work with children and teens that aren't in my practice, but I know who they are and I've worked with them for years. So I have those kind of resources that I keep and hold tight to so that I can give that to people. So yeah, sometimes you need insurance and we have that. I have referrals for that, but a lot of times the best part for me is like, I love giving it mm-hmm. to Aaron, and I have a practicum student, mm-hmm. which Aaron, I'll just give you the breakdown
Please.
Of what that is. An intern means they've graduated from their graduate school mm-hmm. and they have to have so many hours of clinical work to be able to get a full license. And so that's what Aaron's working on, is those hours.
3,000.
3,000.
Yeah, it's yes. a lot. It's a lot. And then the practicum student is one that's in their last two semesters of college, of graduate school, and they have to do a practicum, which is like a clinical internship. Mm-hmm. And I have one of those too. And they're even more discounted than right. Aaron because they need those clinical hours. But I supervise them every week. We talk and share the case with me, and we talk about things and make sure that we're doing a good treatment with them and working with them in a healthy way. And so that's something
interesting.
Yeah, it's a really great resource that I'm so blessed that mm-hmm. I have Aaron and Ellen. They're really great. And even some colleagues of mine that I work with at Watershed, they have interns mm-hmm. and practicums too. That's what we love. We love being able to, we train them, we give them resources. So
there's a lot of support and training.
There's a lot of support.
Which is... I'm just going to say hard to find, but yeah. but there are places that do that and mm-hmm. really invest. And
yeah.
if you're, I would say most counselors that mm-hmm. I've ever met, but what's important to know is when you walk in, we know mm-hmm. the most powerful thing for your journey, for your counseling healing, is your relationship
yes.
with me.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not there, I want you to find it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to help you find it. It's not going to hurt us. I mean, we want to do a good job for you, but it's,
yeah.
you know, it might be a trying game, but normally it's not.
Right.
But
like with parents.
It's important to us.
When they come in and I tell them, and even on the phone, because I am the first person they talk to, even if I'm referring to Aaron, is like your kid, your teenager, let's say John, he's interviewing us.
Mm-hmm.
That he's interviewing us, and let him know that, and make him look at our website, have him read our bios and see our picture, and let him decide who that person would be he would want to go and try and interview with, so that they have that voice and they have that decision that they get to make. I really say that a lot with my parents because I want the kids to own that and right. and be able to feel like they're in this control, like there's somewhat of a control they have mm-hmm. in this, because that's what they're trying to do, right? Their tasks in this age, in the teenage age, is to be independent and make their own decisions. That's what they're trying to get to. That's their developmental task they're trying to reach. And that's part of teaching them that, is giving them more choices and more control over their choices. So...
But to,
I share that.
To the parent and the yeah. teenager that is afraid, what are we walking into?
Mm-hmm.
At least in our group, it's you're going to come in with your kiddo
yeah.
the first time, for the beginning of the mm-hmm. session, if the teenager feels comfortable with you leaving a second half. But I'm going to go through what counseling is, what it looks like, what our goals are for you. I feel it's very important to tell the teenager in front of the parent that I am their mm-hmm. advocate. I yeah. am theirs, not your parents.
Mm-hmm.
I will check in with your parents. You have a lot of power in that. There are specific legal things that I might have to divulge mm-hmm. if someone's being hurt, of course,
right.
but it is so important for everyone, but especially a teenager, to have a space where they're not judged, they are heard, and it's all about them. And they may bring up stuff in that first session that is pivotal, like, I don't know how I'm going to get through tomorrow because mm-hmm. this is happening. So, of course, we're going to address
right.
those first. But obviously, there's a process, and our goal is to give you those tools to function and thrive on your own and in life and you know, as Jerry said before, never see us again. Mm-hmm. Not that we would never want to see you again,
yeah,
but
no,
of course that's our goal.
You.
It's not to string you along,
right,
and keep you coming.
So, yeah, it's a very sacred space.
As a parent, I'm want, you know, we'll go, and I'm, you know, maybe for a month, and and I'm hoping that this is all going to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. What I usually say with parents who want to know, like, what does this look like, right? How, what's this journey going to be like? And I always say it's very individualized, because I don't see that there's never one person that is a duplicate. So it's all very individualized. But I definitely want to say that it's a family approach as well, because I cannot work with your teen unless I have some kind of family involvement where I'm teaching you how to help them, what their language is. As they're talking to me and I'm learning more about them and how maybe they react or how they communicate, I need to share with the parents. I'm not going to tell them exactly what they said, because that is a confidential relationship I'm keeping.
Yeah.
But I want to share with the parent, and I'll tell the teen this, I'm going to talk to your parents and tell them how to relate to you. That would help you. Not giving out any information, but how to help you. So it is a family. I can't stress that enough, because 14 years, the biggest hurdle most of the time has been the family as a system, not necessarily the teen, depending on what's going on, but it's the family that needs to be changing a few things. You know, it's about telling them this is normal. These things happen in my family. I mean, we all deal with family issues, even from our own family that we came from. There's a lot that we've carried on that we don't want to carry on anymore. And so just really emphasizing, because I think parents are scared that what's going on. I mean, they've been talking with them. And
well, I don't
is
want
it
them in
working?
There talking to a stranger about me.
Yes, what's happening?
But of course that's going on.
Yeah.
Of course.
And that's
fine. Okay. I mean, that's how we get
too.
That's how I learn how to share with the parents, look, I'm hearing things, and this is what I think you need to do in response. Here's how you communicate. Here's how you enter into that space with them when they're anxious that I think might really help. So I definitely communicate that with the family, that this is a family thing. And a lot of times I'll tell the teen the same thing, like, I'm not going to divulge anything that, unless it's something I have to. But it would be really crucial when they're ready and we've developed this relationship if we bring them in sometime and talk about.
And it also depends on what stage you are when you're coming in.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Who your child is. Are they going to not speak to me the first three times?
Yeah.
Or some come in and just right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are we having panic attacks and calling into school and carrying barf bags in the car?
Yeah.
Or are we just a little nervous before going to the football game?
Yeah.
It's what are we trying? What patterns have we already learned and trying to work on and change? And how long is that going to take to support?
Well, and from a pastoral perspective, it's an alarming term, but a crisis situation like this is usually, in my experience, the thumbprint of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
Is he wants to come in and heal the family, and somebody is leading that.
Right.
And it could be the anxious teen who is going to lead the family, that they don't think that's going on yet.
Right.
But this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do and wants to help the teen, but wants to heal stuff in the family.
Right.
And if the family is open to that, there's really no limit to what can happen.
Yeah.
And stuff that has come down from previous generations could stop here.
Definitely.
And not go on.
Mm-hmm.
And how much better for the family to be involved and interested, and and this is certainly true. I mean, there's AA, but then there's the family around an alcoholic.
Right.
They need help. Typically, don't seek it because he's the problem.
Right.
But how much better for everybody to be cared for under these conditions?
Yeah.
And as much as I could to encourage the family. Needs to be cared for.
Yes.
In ways that it hadn't before. So this is just, I mean, the teen could be leading the family towards healing.
That's
and if you came in with that mentality, the power that could be behind that would be amazing. unfortunately, so many times it's something's wrong with my teen, fix them.
Yes, mm-hmm. quickly.
When obviously uh-huh. there's responses at home or what. But like you said, it may not be a specific problem at home that's causing it. It's just how do we come together and all fix it mm-hmm. faster and better and mm-hmm. stronger and keep it going. But sometimes, you know, teens come in and we're able to give them a lot of coping skills and they're able to function a lot better and have mm-hmm. a better understanding. And then we don't see them. And then a year later or two years later, something else new is going on
yes.
and they come back for a little bit. And,
right.
then, and that's okay. That's great.
And I tell that to parents a lot.
And they're better conditioned to reach
yes.
out for
right.
help because that was a good experience.
Yeah.
And we all benefited, so mm-hmm. I'll do it again next
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I tell parents a lot of times because of the developmental ages, because I work with like 8 to 18, there's so many stages in
right.
between that we might work on anxiety at age 10 mm-hmm. and give them that coping skills, work with the family
right.
and healing that. And then you might see like when they turn 13, because of the new stage
right.
they're in,
right.
It might show up differently, but they have those skills, so mm-hmm. hopefully it won't be as intense. But just to recognize, it's not just going to go like heal and you'll never have anxiety again.
Yeah. Right.
Like, the reality
it's,
is,
it's navigating.
It's just
anxiety
you're going to have
the goal.
It, mm-hmm. and you parents, you guys have the skills of how to enter into that with them, and they have the skills too of how to help themselves.
And many times the parents have been themselves or
oh,
gone through it. Or I see a
yes.
lot of moms. And, of
right.
course,
sure.
oh, I've become a parent. I'm mm-hmm. coming in.
Like, mm-hmm.
Or I went as
right,
a as a teenager and it really was great
yeah.
or whatnot. And
oh, yeah.
So it's good to see. And you're right. It goes a lot faster in that case because they know how the mm-hmm. how it works and how much work they need to put into it. So.
And I do a lot of parent coaching, too. So I'll even kind of get that counseling word out of there just
mm-hmm.
to give it a because it's just mainly coaching
mm-hmm.
I'm just working with the parents maybe as Aaron's working with a teen or we flip that I'll work with the parents on let's talk about what's going on with you that may be interrupting the process here, the communication and the disconnect that you feel, because it's not just one person who's communicating here, it's
right.
all of you
right.
So a lot of times I'll work in that way so that I can bring in that component for the parents and like let's normalize it. We just need to learn how to communicate differently. We all come with things from our past, from our experiences that we're bringing
yeah.
up
yeah.
in these relationships and the current ones that maybe we don't realize they're coming up and that's why we're not connecting the way we want to. So
well, this feels hopeful. Yeah. This feels like something.
Do you feel hopeful?
I do. But the things we don't want to leave people with
right.
is this is we're going to go and get an injection of some sort, and this will all go away.
The magic
and
pill.
We'll be done.
Yes,
it's an education.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a altering. Ideally, things within the family system, that would
yeah.
be ideal.
Yes.
If more than just the teen, the kid, was involved in this process.
Yes.
Then they can better navigate anxiety that is a part of
life.
Real
yes.
life. That's
mm-hmm.
the goal is not to yeah. never experience anxiety. And
right.
in fact, having learned something like that, the next time you feel it, because you can have anxiety and then panic that you're having anxiety.
Yes, yes it can
and
snowball.
Then you're underwater.
Right.
So it's like, oh, I'm feeling anxious, and I've got some tools.
Yeah.
And if those don't help, I'm still not panicking because I know that I can reach out
mm-hmm.
to people who have helped me in the past. So
mm-hmm.
there's layers
there is.
That
yeah.
That would be of benefit here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, ladies, for taking
thank
time
you.
Out of your day to be here. This has been
appreciate it.
Very, very helpful and very informative. And I hope that we will have people reaching out both to Stonebriar and to you. And
yes.
again, the Watershed Initiative in these Frisco Richardson and Plano.
Thank
and
you.
Their office number is 214-414-0378. And because of the podcast, you can rewind that and hear it again so that I don't have to say it twice.
So great.
Because technology is really cool.
Yes, it is.
This is Pastor Dave Carl and with the Parenting Pathway Podcast, and we will see you next time. And remember, don't do life and don't do parenting by yourself.